at 2260 Sutherland Avenue. You said that a little too quick for me, Jerry. I'm fixing to schloid you. Tennessee Sports Medicine Group, online at 10sportsmed.com. I'm going back to my phones. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction, 2-2 the USA and Mexico in a titanic struggle defending. They might as well just be playing this game on our border. Let's go back to our phones and get our next caller in here as Jerry Colquitt is enjoying every minute of this, and you can hear him in the background. Maybe in a minute we'll have him drink some water out of his ProPure water filter for us. And let's get our next caller in here. Hello and welcome in.
Hola.
Hola. Hola, amigo.
Hey, Jerry, you remember Alan Colquitt?
Alan Colquitt, Jerry. Do you remember Alan?
Alan Cockrell.
Cockrell. Oh, yeah.
Hey, my daddy, who's now he's on in glory, he took me to a Georgia Tech game, and that was Tennessee's quarterback, of course. Then he wasn't a great quarterback, but man, we had, you know, some great receivers, and we won that game, and I'll never forget that moment with my dad. Well, tonight, I was at the game with my son, who's 15. We've been to other games, but this was a special one. My son hasn't seen a whole lot of women. It was loud. And, Tony, I know you'll be right here with me on this one. We got to give credit where credit's due. I thank the Lord, that he saw fit for me to live in East Tennessee and be able to do things like that with my son.
That's exactly right, man. You know what? And here's the thing about it. People that are just indigenously from here, I don't think appreciate how beautiful this place is.
Right.
Now, they can call me a damn Yankee and everything else they want to call me, and it's probably most of
it. Because it's true.
Exactly.
They're right.
But I understand how beautiful and special this place is. There's not a football Saturday I don't go over there and tailgate, and I go to different tailgates today. And I'll see people, and some will say, you know, Tony, you really made me mad this week, or they'll hug me, or whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. There's not a time I don't go over there where I don't smell the air, appreciate how beautiful the place is, and just how special of a gift this is that we all have somehow found our way into this dysfunctional Tennessee family.
I wanted to tell you that play where Hurd put I'm going to tell you this, and then I want to tell you who the defensive player of the game was, okay? When Hurd ran over that number 9, I mean, I don't know what it was like on television, but in the stadium, that was like an electrical current through the whole crowd. There was a lot happened after that that wasn't necessarily positive for Tennessee, but that was a tone setting run right there. That was a Herschel Walker over Bill Bates moment. He absolutely flattened him, and it was the crowd was crazy loud after that. I'm wondering what it looked like on television. I can't wait to see the replay. But in the stadium, it was awesome. Khalil McKenzie, he played. He grew up tonight. Now probably has some work to do still. With putting pressure on the quarterback when he's in the pocket, you know, bull rushing up the field a little bit. But as far as a run defense tonight, unbelievable. Great. I don't know how many tackles he had. He had to have six or eight tackles. And you know, they couldn't really run the ball, and that's really what won the game for us.
Jerry, thoughts on what this gentleman had to say for us tonight?
Yeah, timely comment. You know, one of the things that I jotted down here as I was watching the game was I thought one of the impressive things that our defensive line did was to actually change the line of scrimmage. You can go back and, you know, if you have DVR, go back and watch this game again and watch on some of those running plays what's actually happening to the line of scrimmage. Our defensive line was actually pushing the line of scrimmage about a half yard into that Georgia backfield. So, when you start to see that, that's when you know our interior guys are whipping, both, you know, guards and center. And when that's happening, you know, now, unlike, you know, the last couple games when we said it was a problem, offensive lineman getting up on the second level upon Jalen Reeves, Maven, and Colton Jumper and those guys. That's been a huge problem the last two games, Florida and Arkansas especially. So the fact that we were actually controlling the line of scrimmage, actually pushing that line of scrimmage back into that backfield today was a huge thing because, like Carlos said, by doing that, you know, we did not let either of the three great running backs get going today. And I thought that was the one thing that, you know, especially when you talk to Coach Glanville, it's those number of rushing attempts that end up getting you in a game. So not necessarily the big passing play. So the fact that we were able to negate that with our defensive line play today, I thought that was huge.
Anything else for us tonight?
Good night, boys. Good game.
Wonderful call, man.
Appreciate
Thanks.
Y'all being on tonight. Thanks.
Hey, thank you. Great talk to you. Into the wee small hours of the morning. We've been going since 7:30. I'm going on 5 hours. It's 2-2 now.
When did we start here? 7:30?
I started. Well, I don't know what time the game
Four
ended
Four and a half
tonight.
Hours?
Game ended
4:30.
At
4:30. Pacific.
Don't make me do math right now. 4:30 Pacific is 7:30 my time. It's 12 o'clock. 4.5 hours without a commercial.
It's not that bad.
Break.
All lines are jammed.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tennessee beat Georgia, baby.
That's great, man. That's what we're here for.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
It's lovely, man. Ain't.
I haven't seen Mexicans move like... Those guys are pretty excited. Look at that place, boy. Jerry. The New World Order is upon us.
What do we do with Guzan?
Let's go back to the phones. That's a great... I'm going to tell you something. U.S. played well tonight. Not really, but anyway. Just felt like being positive. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
This is John. I want to say hello to Jared Colquitt. I helped recruit that young man many years ago. An unfortunate injury sidelined him. He was one of the best people and players I knew. I want to congratulate this football team. Don't find it fine win. We got a lot of things to work on, but at least we got the victory and a week off to heal up our wounds and play the dadgum Alabama Crimson Tide.
There's no question, Coach. And, you know, wouldn't it be great to get them in like a 9-3 type game, 7-6 type game, just get some old school football out there?
Well, that would be fine, but dadgum it, every time we get in a close game with them, they always beat them. Beat us, I mean, and, I'd like to beat the hell out of myself by 45-0. But all I've got to say is you got a fine show, even though you're from Philadelphia. There's a lot of good people out of that place, Frankie Avalon being one of them, one of my favorite singers. And I'm going to get out of here and let someone else get on here. Thank you very much.
865-200-5402. Next call. Hello and welcome. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, it's JJ.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Jerry, I've done a little research. I'm kind of leaning toward the Big Berkey water filter. you know, the, by the way, how is the vibe, in Washington, now that marijuana is legalized?
Interesting thing, man. You know, coffee shops were the thing around here. There's a coffee shop about every half block. Now, so now with the legalization of marijuana, it's about every half block that there's a marijuana shop right beside the coffee shop. So that's almost things have changed, man. It's an entirely different world.
Jerry, you spark it up?
No, sir.
Jerry, come on, man.
Why not?
You're among friends here, brother. You can tell us.
Oh, man.
How many Mexican Marlboros do you think will be fired up in California here?
Wow.
About half an hour.
Wow.
That last play where we rushed three, did you guys notice that there was a linebacker that looked like he was going to blitz, and he faked like he was blitzing? It was like, a 40 or 50-yard route, and he's basically just not guarding anyone. He's like guarding the line of scrimmage.
That was great. That was wonderful.
Mike, could you have been a little bit more helpful if you actually put pressure on the quarterback and make him at least move out of the way, distract him a little bit, give him something to think about?
Jerry, what is the point in that, in what the end's doing there?
Yeah, usually, if you got the threat of a running quarterback, say it's fourth down seven, fourth down eight, and you got a guy like a Dobbs, and you want to play the sticks, so you want to get more people back in coverage. I understand that. And also with the spy, if you're spying an end guy kind of fake rushing and then dropping off, usually you're going, okay, what I'm going to not let you do is let your guy get on the edge, get a first down, and get out of bounds. So it's where, you almost see a defensive end or a linebacker from the outside just kind of spying the quarterback in the event that they try to take off on the outside, and you just keep hold that edge there so that they can't get outside. Trying to flush everything there to the middle rushes.
Well, it wasn't what I'm talking about is like the last play of the game, and there's a guy that's just basically just being pointless. He acted like he was going to blitz, and it's like, what are you doing? Either blitz or run down the field. Just, I didn't understand. One thing I've noticed when you guys are talking about Cam Sutton, one thing that really got me going with him when he first came here was that he was actually not only aggressive on the pass, but it seemed like he was a really good run stopper for a cornerback, and we've missed that for so many years, and I think that's one area. I mean, our corners still don't look over the shoulder, which has been something that's plagued us since I've been a fan. And, but we don't know. We do a terrible job of bringing secondary up to the line to stop the run. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I think obviously they're going to have to get better here these next 2 weeks against Alabama, because, Tennessee caught a break having Chubb out basically for the entire game. So Alabama's going to be a better running team. And if you don't improve, Jerry, between now and 2 weeks from now, it's going to be a long day against the Tide for John Jancic's crew.
Yeah, and the thing about this next opponent, kind of like Oklahoma, I thought Arkansas between their wide receiving core and what they did, the things that they could do in the running game, they just complemented each other so well. So again, Tennessee is going to have that task of having to, manage both aspects of that. The caller's comment about Cam Sutton, you guys probably remember, going all the way back to Chris White. You guys remember Chris White, don't you?
Great player. Chattanooga, 85, Sugar Vols, led the nation in interceptions.
Yeah, well, it's almost like sometimes when a defensive back gets so many turnovers in one season, be it interceptions or the round of football as far as fumbles go, I thought Cam Sutton was almost a victim of that circumstance. I think it was early on in his career. I think maybe his first or second season, one of those seasons. It just always seemed like they weren't necessarily plays where he was guarding a guy one-on-one, he makes an interception, but almost like bad throws, tip balls that came his way. The next thing you know, he had a few interceptions, I think, in that 1 year. It was almost like that was a standard that he was going to be held to, although just as a pure cover corner, the guy's still learning to do that, and we all still think that Cam Sutton is a is an awesome football player. And you mentioned there the caller, just how multi-dimensional he is. I mean, a lot of guys at that spot, they don't want to even tackle. So I kind of feel like he's probably had to live up to that standard unfairly early on, just from all those turnovers I think that he got. I think it might have been his year one or year two. But the kid's a heck of a overall defensive back, in my opinion.
One last thing, you know, we've got a lot of callers. This is something I've got a bone to pick with you, Tony, is...
Oh, no. It's about Jack White. You're a big Jack White fan.
No, dude.
Okay. Go ahead.
Tell me Elephant.
Go ahead.
Great record.
Go ahead.
I got more style than that, bro.
Interesting.
No, I take the Black Keys over here. I think he's totally overrated, too. And whiny, and it's like, dude, we don't... We already know post-modern world. We don't need to hear any more of it. You know, you were talking about, you know, if we keep losing, we're going to hear for change of the quarterback position that's coming. And then I think you've contributed to the talk of criticizing Dobbs as not being a good passer.
He's not a good passer. I'm not contributing to anything. He's not a good thrower of the football, man. He's not.
Listen, Tony. And this offense, you would agree, is dysfunctional. You would also agree that at a certain point, you have to fill airspace and talk about something. You don't want to keep
No. And let me fill any airspace. Don't ascribe. Wait, time out. Don't ascribe me saying that to filling. I'm talented. I don't need to fill airspace with taking shots at Josh Dobbs. He's not a good thrower of the football. He's not. Listen, he had a nice night tonight. He still missed a bunch of guys.
Yep.
He threw some bad passes. I don't know of any quarterback in America who's throwing it for 70%. There's times where Brady
Let me tell you something about your percentages. He throws 2-yard passes out the wide receivers. Come on, get real. He can't throw. Listen, tonight he threw the ball downfield a little bit, and he was pretty accurate. He's bounced a lot of balls.
He got
downfield
in the second half. He had a really rough start. I think at one point he was like 14 of 29. I mean, he was under 50% for the first half.
JJ, I love you, but don't do that to me. That's
not fair. I'm just saying, like, there's only so much you can just keep talking about, you know, Butch Jones and this offense. My thing is, it's very similar to back when Sims was the scapegoat, and he was playing against these good teams, and they weren't using another player to help block. You know, the thing is Dobbs is under duress. He's made some great throws when it counts. That drive against Florida, he threw a perfect pass to either Smith or the tight end, one of the tight ends, for like, it was like 4th and 13, and he threw a pinpoint pass. For people to say that he's not a good passer is a moot point. You're going to bring in a less mobile guy in Dormady in this Butch Jones offense that is needing. You need to have a running quarterback. So it's like, what's the point? We could talk all day about everyone's faults. But the thing is that's more state-run stuff where you just criticize a guy and then he becomes a scapegoat. Just like Eric Ainge was a scapegoat against LSU and Clawson was a scapegoat.
No, it's not state-run stuff when it's my opinion. I mean, come on, man. That's not fair to me. What?
I'm saying it's not fair to Dobbs. He's our freaking MVP, Tony. We wouldn't have had these leads. Without Dobbs, yes or no? Is he not considered the MVP?
He's not a great thrower of the football. If he was better, they would have won those games as a thrower.
But you're talking about that gets people talking about getting Dormady in there, and I don't think that's fair to Dobbs. You want to pick apart him not being able to throw the ball well? What's your point? You could point to any position and say they're not good at this or this, but the quarterback takes the blame, and I understand that's part of it, but... To me, I think it's unfair to Dobbs, who is in a dysfunctional offense. He doesn't get to call the freaking plays like you've already said.
That's true, and he doesn't get to audibleize either, which is really strange about that offense. I don't know.
No, and he doesn't get enough attempts to get in a rhythm, just like you guys were talking about the receivers getting a rhythm. That affects Dobbs, too. So let's be fair to him. I'm just tired of hearing that he can't pass the ball. I've got a friend who's a very smart guy. He's like ripping Dobbs and not calling for any responsibility on Butch. And it's like, dude, Dobbs and Hurd are our co-MVPs on offense this year. I mean, I just...
Yes.
And he's a great runner.
But it doesn't... I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what's going to be really interesting, because that Dormady kid can really play. It's going to be a real quarterback battle in the offseason. I know you don't want to hear that because you're full Dobbs and a lot of people
I'm telling you right now,
don't be surprised. Do not be surprised. And it's not my prophecy or any. I'm just telling you, this Dormady guy can really, 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 really play. He's really talented.
Well, we've heard that about a lot of backup quarterbacks the last few years, Tony. And I don't care. It's just like with me, with you, with any of these, with any of the fans. And then I was so glad to hear Swain come around and not worry about other former players.
Yeah, I love that. Yep.
Be your own man. Was maturity.
Yep.
And it's I don't owe allegiance to the coach.
Be your own man.
To this university.
Yep.
And I want what's best for the university. And I think right now, in this particular offense, Dormady may be Tom Brady. You put Tom Brady in this offense, he's going to struggle because he's getting pressure, and this offense is calling. He's handicapped with not being able to audible, and this offense is needing a guy who is a very good running quarterback. And Dormady might be a pretty good athlete, but I don't think he's near the runner as Dobbs, and so I just don't understand. Why, you know, I just don't want this whole thing where we start losing, Dobbs becomes...
Well, what do you want to do? You want to run the ball or you want to throw the ball? If you have Dobbs in there, the passing game suffers. If you have Dormady in there, the running game suffers.
He's proven competent as a passer. My point is, if Butch would get his act together and not substitute receivers all the damn time and allow these players to actually breathe, and to feel good, we would have more wins. The thing is we're not talking about Dobbs not being a good passer if we didn't blow these leads, and that was not on Dobbs. That's my point.
Thank you, JJ. Thank you. Have a great night. Jerry, your thoughts on him? He hung up on you, Jerry, by the way.
No, he hung up on you, too.
No, he hung up on you, Jerry. Jerry, my take is on Josh Dobbs is that he's not... He doesn't throw the ball well enough. I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. And the buzz around the program was, coming into this game, and I still think the buzz will be somewhat, that you're going to have to get the other kid ready. Tony Robinson even agreed with that on In the Pocket this week.
My problem is this, and I'm going to go one step further than what the caller did. The thing here is to get to the why behind it. To me, this offense is not a quarterback friendly offense.
No.
So some of the offenses, to me that are more quarterback friendly are offenses that are geared towards getting one, you know, a quarterback in rhythm, the passing game that emphasizes just basic footwork. I mean, how many times have you seen Dobbs take a three-step drop, get the ball out of his hands? Five-step drop, get the ball out of his hands.
Right.
Five-step pop, you know, come off your primary receiver and hit the backfield on a swing route.
Right.
They don't do those fundamental type of things that, to me, that make it quarterback-friendly for any quarterback.
No.
So the fact that they would go to a Dormady, my question would be, well, what's going to change? The offensive system is not going to change. It didn't change for Worley. It did not change for Josh Dobbs. So if they stuck Dormady in there, I would expect almost the same result.
And I would expect that you're smoking crack.
Fact of the matter is,
look,
Dobbs is going to get hurt eventually.
Sure he is.
Dormady's going to get his chance. So.
Sure he is. And here's the thing. I love Josh Dobbs. I think he's a beautiful guy. I think he's an incredible football player. He's not a great passer of the football. I'm going to say that one more time. If it offends people, let that offend them. He's not a great passer of the football.
How about after the turnover, the fumble and the kickoff return? I mean, you go deep, you take your shot right there. I mean, how is that ball not intercepted?
Thank you. I mean, geez Louise. How can anybody with two eyes
But let's credit say that, Butch and DeBoard for realizing that and playing to his strengths, the
yes.
quick throws in the flats, the quick
yes.
throws over the middle, and limiting the shots they're taking downfield. I thought they did a good job with
now,
that.
Now, some are taking shots at Nick Sheridan and saying he doesn't have a full-time coach coaching him.
And guys, I'll say this. I actually did think that he took some shots. Some of those ones that he tried to
Jerry,
get in on Jerry. The sideline, I thought that they probably dropped about
Jerry.
Three or four passes tonight that would have been well over any from what, 20 to 30 yards per completion. But to me, Dobbs seems like he's still growing that way. To me, he shows spark. I mean, that pass that he threw to Josh Smith over the middle, you can't do that if you can't throw the football. So to me, it's almost like fundamentals that are prohibiting him from being more accurate over the course of a game, more so than me just coming out and saying that Dobbs can't throw the football. I don't believe that at all, because I see too many flashes from him and some of these tough throws to put that label on.
Oh,
Josh
No. Wait a second. He's not a great passer of the football. I mean, you could say he made some flashes, and Jerry, the guy bounces balls. I mean, come on, get real.
I didn't say it like that, first
Jerry,
of all.
He's not a great Jerry. Okay, let me say. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to have you respond to it. Okay, he's not a great passer of the football. Go. Refute that.
Get the kid in rhythm. How many times have you watched San Francisco 49ers?
Jerry,
first four or five. No, wait a minute. Let me finish. You asked me a question. How many times have you watched the San Francisco 49ers? Joe Montana, first thing he comes out, he throws a hitch. He throws a slant. He throws it out. He's building up to it. Our guys are shotgun all day, and all they do is just try to hit these hard throws down the seam. You're not going to complete those passes a whole lot until, like we said, get them in different personnel.
Okay.
Put two tight ends out there. Get a middle safety.
I'll say
throw
this.
It out, a hitch. Go ahead.
I'll say this. He threw the wheel route to the tight end. He threw a perfect ball today. That impressed me. He had Preston Williams wide open at the 15-yard line out in the left flat, and he threw it about nine yards behind him. He doesn't throw the ball well, guys. He doesn't hit people on the run. He threw a couple balls today that would have been touchdowns. I'm not picking at him, okay? Let's just call it what it is.
You know, Tony, we've been on the air for 5 hours now. I think Tennessee just beat Georgia. We're dissecting, breaking down Josh Dobbs' performance. I'm just saying, I'm reaching my limit here.
I'm going to go back to our phones. I got three more phone calls. Dobbsy, I don't blame you. In fact, you've been tweeting about soccer, and if you keep tweeting about soccer out of the Ray Mayer studio, that could lead to your expulsion. And by the way, Utah's lining up for a field goal. They've got a fat field goal kicker. I'm into it. Back to our phones we go. Jerry Colquitt is being a sheep. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. We're reaching hour number five of the show. Hello.
Hey, Tim. Fake Dane.
Hey, Fake Dane Bradshaw doing fake good works.
Absolutely. Hey, been trying to get in all season. It's finally good to talk to you.
Yes, it's great to talk to you, Fake Dane.
I'll tell you what, Tony, I'm just happy tonight.
Yep.
I really am.
Feels
I'm
great,
happy.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it feel great?
Well, I mean, no, I don't care what we should be right now. I'm just happy. So, but I'll tell you one thing. I am more impressed every day and day by Khalil McKenzie. I think he's the MVP of the game. He shut down the run game for Georgia. What do you think?
I think he's got a really bright future, man. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And, boy, I tell you, you throw a space heater like that in the middle of the field, and that is going to cause a lot of a lot of offensive coordinators on Tennessee's schedule, a lot of sleepless nights trying to figure out how to work around him, because that is quite a weapon.
He was collapsing, yes.
Oh, and he's just a kid.
He's a freshman, dude.
They tell me, those coaches that like overthink everything, he's not in shape. Put him on the field. Let him play when he's not in shape. Let him play when he's not in shape.
I agree. You know what? That's part of the problem. We overthink ourselves.
Yep, absolutely.
We found the guy. We got our guy, and he better be in for the rest of the year.
Yep, and he's another one of those, Tony Robinson calls him. He's a big orange baller. He's a second-generation kid. It matters to him. And let's go out and play. And he definitely had a huge impact in that game tonight.
Yeah, I'm tickled to death, Tone. It's a great feeling. Great feeling. So, but I will tell you one thing. I know y'all are being hard on Dobbs tonight. If we don't have Josh Dobbs, we don't win that.
No, wait a second. I love him. I'm not being hard on him at all. I said he's not a great thrower of the football. That's all.
I agree with that.
Do you call him fake Dane? Even in your most surreal of times, when you're out there and you're wearing your Dane Bradshaw jersey and you're trying to get free drinks from establishments like Cazzy's in the western part of the city, and you're
that's
out there
spot,
and
man, that's my spot.
Okay. Well, when you're out there wearing your Dane Bradshaw jersey and you want somebody to buy you a drink because you look like him and you're doing your fake good works in his real name, are you going to tell me that this guy is a great passer of the football?
He's not a great passer, but I also don't think we give him enough opportunities to throw the ball.
Do you know why they don't give him enough opportunities to throw the ball?
I guess they know more than we do.
Because he's not a great passer of the football.
You might say he's not, but what did he do when it counted? He threw it down the middle to our tight end, and he got it done. He did. When it came time to do it, he did it.
Great, great thought. Anything else for us tonight, Fake Dane? Because it sounds to me like you've had quite the party in your little realm.
Well, I just tell you what, I'm tickled to death.
It's great.
My sister and my mom are both a Georgia alum.
Yes.
And I was laughing in their face walking down the stadium.
I met Tack Air Spike's beautiful sister today, and she has kind of a thing for you.
Well, she's a good friend, and I tell you what, Tack Air, He's seen better days right now. Let me tell you that much.
Tack Air Spike, I would imagine. I saw a picture he took with Tony Robinson about 4 hours ago, and he looked like he should be hanging with a former basketball coach that was on our campus about 15 years ago.
Hey, I just saw a great line.
Yes.
Social media on Facebook.
Love social media.
We call
media.
This the Dobbs Nail Boot Game.
Yeah, the Dobbs Nail Boot Game. How about that, Tack Air Spike?
I love it. I love it. He loves it, too.
Thank you,
hey,
Tack.
Hey, Tone, good talking to you, bud. Hey, you be good.
Thanks, Fake Dane. You all see that guy, Jerry. He looks just like Dane Bradshaw. And for the longest time, they had me thinking that he was involved in all these great works, and he didn't do any of them. And I would always congratulate him on all the great works he did. And he never stopped to tell me that he wasn't doing good works in our community. So I'd say that he's Fake Dane doing fake good works. Your thoughts on that, Jerry?
Billy Collie, you just got what fished? Cat fished.
I was going to ask you guys something. Lost my train of thought. Oh, geez, I wonder why. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction, hour 5.
That's a mouthful.
You got it.
Hey, buddy. How you doing, Tony?
Doing great. Thank you.
This is Greg. I'm in Columbia, Tennessee.
Great. Greg, Ronnie Pillow Country.
Called you last week. Thought I'd call you again. Hey, I'm tickled to death. I do agree with you. He's having a tough time throwing some of those balls. But here's what they need to do. 2 weeks to kind of get his head full of fundamentals. Steady his feet, turn correctly when you're throwing a good distance, and he'll be 1,000 times better. He's going to be okay. He's just got to concentrate. I think he gets in a little bit of a hurry, when he's trying to make a play and he bounces one in there. We've all done that playing backyard football.
Hey, let me ask Jerry about that. Jerry, what do you see that from him as form?
Yeah, it's just like the play you mentioned. I think was the one you're talking about, the one that he threw behind, I think Preston Williams. I mean, the thing is this: I come from a school where when you take a snap, you take the drop, you get the ball out of your hand, and what's happening is these long delayed fakes are so much part of their drop back game. To me, it's almost like by the time he comes off that fake, the play is almost in its end stage of development, and he's trying to compensate for it. That one that he threw behind Preston Williams, to me, if the fake doesn't take so long, he can squeeze that ball in there better.
That's interesting.
So, to me, the timing and the footwork and all that stuff, it all goes together. To me, they're not really giving him a chance to throw in rhythm, if you guys know what I'm saying.
And being fair to him, Brian Johnson said there are some plays where they roll him left and then they ask him to throw the ball against his body on an intermediate route, which is a hard pass to make. But again, he's not a great thrower of the football. He's just not. I mean, some guys have arm talent, and he doesn't have arm talent. And I don't know why that would offend people. It doesn't offend me. He doesn't have arm talent. Great arm talent.
He's an athlete.
I mean, he's a terrific athlete, and he's a warrior, brother. That guy is a great leader of a football team. A great leader of a football team. And it was great to see him win a huge game, because I think he'll grow from that.
I got to ask you guys, too, what is it with a lot of games I've seen Tennessee play, the officials just get a brain lock or something. You get a guy who calls a block in the back call, throws the flag, and you got another guy comes up and says, oh, it wasn't a block in the back. He hit it from the side. Well, they showed it on TV. It was a block in the back. Then Dobbs gets his helmet slapped on a rush. Official right behind the play, looking right in there, never saw that. What is it with these guys on these games Tennessee plays a lot where these officials are making these dumb calls or not making them?
Well, you know, it's a great point you bring up. I don't understand how you can throw a flag and then pick it up when obviously it was a block in the back.
He saw something.
Well, yeah, he saw something, and then he was obviously overruled or talked out of it. But I don't know. Sometimes you watch things and you just kind of go, what game am I looking at? And then they had a subsequent series where it was on the series where Tennessee's ended up scoring a touchdown, but if they don't score, if Von Pearson falls down and that ball flies over his head on fourth down, we are bitching and moaning tonight because Georgia trucks us, and Josh Dobbs would have gotten hit in the head by a flying defensive end who reached out for him and slapped him in the
helmet.
How about
that? Yeah.
That's a 15-yard penalty in any language. That's a 15-yard penalty over there in Oak Ridge where Jerry grew up.
And that's a big play that would have helped.
It's a huge play. That's a momentum play. You can't not call
that. The game, I can't remember. Was that a fourth quarter play?
No, that was in the second quarter when Tennessee was down 21 points. They were driving with the football there.
Yeah.
And then subsequently they make the fourth down conversion. Yeah. If they don't get that fourth down conversion, they get the ball right there at midfield, and we're talking about how they didn't get a blow to the head. They missed it. You can't miss calls like that. That's awful.
Terrible. Hey, Tony, I love your show, man.
Thank you, brother.
I've told several people down here they need to get it.
Thank you, brother. Spread the word. We'll get the app. Spread the word, okay?
Several Tennessee fans we've talked to, but I'm in broadcasting as well. And I enjoy listening to you.
What do you do? What kind of broadcasting do you do, sir?
Well, I work at a station. We play all hit radio. We play all kinds of music.
Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. I love the radio business. You know, it's kind of died on us, you know? It's not what it used to be.
Yep, it has. I've been doing it for 40 years, man.
Man, it's changed, hasn't it? When I broke in and it was all those local stations, man, radio had some soul. You know it?
Let me tell you, here's the big reason why, and I'll let you go. FCC just deregulated to the death. Well, they let all these corporate people come in and buy five stations per town and then run it from a corporate headquarters. Our station in Nashville used to be Classic Rock, used to be a locally owned station. It was bought by the corporate people, and now they are, I mean, it's nothing like it used to be.
Nope.
When it was locally run.
Nope.
I mean, pathetic.
You know, Russell and myself both have the blessing. He works for a locally owned radio company, and I own my own show, and I'm on a locally owned radio station. And man, that is a disappearing breed in this world. And I just know that every day that I get a chance to get up and not live in that corporate radio world, I mean, I'm here, I am in my house doing this in my basement, and people make fun of that. But you know, there's a lot of expensive equipment down here. We've got great sponsors, and we've got thousands of people listening online. And this is what radio was supposed to be. This is what it originally was. We used to serve communities with it. And now we've gotten so far away from that because it's just a big bank. And radio stations don't have the same soul that they once did. Because now you have Russell and myself, we met. I was in a sports radio station in a place that had five other stations in the building. That's not radio. That's bank. That's not radio. But anyway,
they've already killed music radio.
They're trying to kill it, man.
Shame, but
they can't kill talk.
I hope they can't
kill talk. Hey, man, good hearing from you, brother. Have a great night, okay?
Hey, you too, man. Hey, I also do a website. I cover Columbia State.
Tell us about it. Plug your website. Go ahead on the way out.
TennesseeSportsNet.com.
All right, man. I'm glad to hear you're out there.
Well, thank you, brother. And if I can help you any, just let me know.
Thank you, brother.
Have a good evening.
Beautiful Columbia. Love it, man. Beautiful area down there. 865-200-5402. And I also want to remind the living listener, you can hear Russell Smith at Knox Talk Radio. Get his app. Check him out in the afternoon. Russell, congratulations. We can say this because we're not on live right now, but the books that you guys have had recently, you've got the top-rated sports show in the afternoon.
Well, we have a pretty darn big audience.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks, man.
You've worked your butt off.
Well,
it's good stuff.
We have fun in the afternoon, so sports is supposed to be fun, and we try and keep it fun.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Take things too seriously.
No, that's what we're doing.
We didn't take it too seriously when Tennessee sucked. We're not going to take it too seriously now that they've won a game.
Hey, God bless your competition, the sports talk guys. When I listen to them, I think they're getting ready to cut somebody open and dissect them. Let's go back to, God bless them. Let's go back to the phones. Jerry, you like when I say God bless somebody and then rip them?
That's how you do. I mean, like, right before you go on for the kill, you know, you set them up.
I have a lot of
Tyndall was telling me
guys.
One night,
I mean,
he goes,
plenty of...
Tyndall said, I was listening to you one night, Tony. He said on the call-in, he goes, and you always say stuff like, you know, I really shouldn't go there. He goes, and then you're talking about Chip Kelly getting the head football job at Tennessee after the Florida game. We get kind of emotional. By the way, I want to remind you, next time the Vols take the field, the Shock Top Buck Fama Party will be in full effect at Cazzy's. And we are going to take it to the next level. Lee and Seymour tells me, you called it this week, Tony. Good job. Hey, Lee and Seymour, I've called it every freaking week, and I've been wrong. I don't think I'm going to take credit. I've been thinking this team was going to win. I sent Jerry Colquitt a picture of that woman taking a dump in Neyland Stadium. Jerry, have you seen it on Twitter?
No.
Tony Robinson says, hey, where was this? Like, I know the section. T-Rob's a genius, man.
So she's pretty, that's pretty classy right there. But some guy saw that, and his instinct was to whip out his phone and take a picture.
Jerry, a woman went into the men's bathroom in Neyland Stadium, I guess because the woman's room was too full, and they have a picture of her with her rear end up in the air, and she is taking a full-out, full-on dump. In the trough, in the urinal.
Wow.
Yes.
Hey, man, hey. When you go to those all-day events...
Oh, anything's possible.
You better handle your business before you leave the house.
Oh, anything's possible by Hal Hill. Yeah, if you've got a excitable bladder or whatever, especially with those CBS games, that damn thing today was over 4 hours long, and it was not in overtime.
Not to...
Go ahead, Doc. This ought to be good. You always get that look on your face when you're going to say something you shouldn't say. I know you by now. Go ahead, you goofball.
How do we know that she's taking a dump? I mean, I'm no expert.
What is she doing?
Listen, I'm no expert on the female anatomy.
Well, that's true. She's not. It's all the same. Only the coaches have changed. All right, let's go back to the phones. I'm punch drunk right now. Jerry Colquitt's almost making sense to me at this point. Jerry, is there anything else you'd like to add as we go along here?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I think we've hit on it. Dobbs. The thing that gives me a lot of hope about him is that he does show flashes, and the fact that some of the flashes that he has shown, some of those throws are really tough. It's almost like, and you're a Philly fan, remember Donovan McNabb in this early stage as a passer and as also a guy who could run a little bit out of the pocket. You know, it was almost like they had to develop that part of his game. And once he developed it, it was really nice to see. You know, he no longer became the streaky passer, but still the guy that could consistently, you know, connect downfield. So the more they try and do things to get him into the rhythm of the game, to me, it's just going to help him, next season. So, but I also do agree. And, you know, just going back from my playing days, and, you know, with Alan Cockrell and Tony Robinson, I mean, you do have to play two quarterbacks. And even if you do play Dorman Bisson, that doesn't mean that, Josh Dobbs isn't the guy that you're trying to plan him and get him out of there. But getting both guys ready and also the continuation of Dobbs and doing things that kind of make sense and that are quarterback friendly, to me would just help that offense.
Hey, by the way, I think we got an email from a guy, and I'm going to unpack this later on, but I think Dobbs freelanced a little bit tonight. I'm going to get to the bottom of that. I think he called his own number a few times when it wasn't supposed to be called. I think he freelanced some. I think he took it upon himself and said, I'm winning this game. I'm not getting off this field without a win tonight. And I kind of like that about him.
Which aspect are you talking? You talking
some of those runs? Yeah, or? Some of those runs that... Just a couple. I think he improvised a couple times.
Yeah, you could almost see on some of the reads. You know, a lot of times on those read plays, those one back read option plays, if you want to call them that.
Yep.
When that end comes down really hard and they take away that running back, then you know that's the opportune time to pull it. But sometimes it's almost like, hey, if you have a back who can get you plus yards. You know, if there's any gray area, hand it off. And it seemed like even when there was gray area, when they necessarily weren't taking away the running back, he still kind of kept it. So you can almost see that as a positive thing. You know, if a guy is getting to a point where, they're not going to let him do it as far as checking off in the passing game or pass protection, so on and so forth. Then, if he's still in that running game, that's going to get him into the game and get him going. So be it. Keep it every now and then. I wouldn't be at all, you know, not in favor of Dobbs doing that every now and then.
Back to the funds we go. The great Jerry Colquitt's bringing it to the table with the greatest of ease. Bra. Let's go back to our phones. 865.
Where's Hartman tonight?
Who?
Brian Hartman.
We were just talking about him.
My boy, Hartman.
You're cracking on him.
86. Did you know Hartman wore 86 at Oak Ridge? The Ridge.
Love me some Brian Harbaugh.
Back to the phones we go. That's my producer on my daily show, for those of you not familiar, a.k.a. Briny Boy.
Did Jerry, were you on a team with Brian Colquitt, with Brian Hartman?
I think we had 1 year together. I believe Hartman was a sophomore, so when I was a senior.
And that draws laughter from some unknown caller. That's today.
Tell me about Hartman's game. Hey. What kind of a player was he, Jerry?
You didn't go over the middle on Brian Hartman, did?
Yeah, I tell you, he was very thorough.
There you go.
Was he a fierce competitor?
Let's get our next caller in. Hello and welcome.
All of that, man. Oh, goodness. Hey, TC in Athens, Georgia, buddy.
What's up, brother?
Not much, man. I was hoping to see you this weekend, brother. Tried to get over to the fish pantry thing today, and unfortunately didn't get over there, man.
It was so outstanding. I met the folks from Clemson today. They were such beautiful people, man.
Yeah, I was tailgating with them.
Twisted T, beautiful people, and his beautiful wife. So beautiful.
Great time with those folks, man.
Great folks.
I mean, salt of the earth, man. Great folks. We had a great time. And man, I got to tell you, Russell, been listening to your show now the last few months, and I hadn't really called in much because I typically can't around that time of day. But, man, I wanted you to know, I really enjoy your show. You guys do a great job.
Oh, thanks, man.
So
I appreciate that.
But I wanted to give you – I didn't even get to listen to the first two or three hours of your show tonight, Tony B, because, and I usually do, honestly, I usually tune straight in. But I just want to share my experience, man, because, I just had such an experience. I couldn't even leave the stadium. The people that I was with, we were tailgating there in G10, and we just didn't even want to leave. You know, it was kind of like how John, from Gainesville down there, you know, that whole deal with him in Florida, with me living in Athens. I mean, I totally relate to what he goes through, you know. And like, I've been this emotional thing where it's like, okay, he said, don't get too high, don't get too low, just remain calm, man. And Big Orange Butch was with, you know, and even at the end, I wasn't even trying to be funny. I wasn't at all, actually. I kept saying, is it really over? Is it really over? Is it really over? I mean, I kept saying it over and over. I couldn't buy in that the game was really over, because how many games have we had where it wasn't even actually over when it was over? And something happened, and we had to go back and play it. And we lost the game. And it took me time to even realize this game is actually over. And then I start looking around and I see grown men and women crying because it meant that much to them that our guys closed it out and finished the game. Man, I'm telling you, it was an awesome night. And so if people want to get on here and I'm not talking about you, man, I don't mean this toward you, and I hope it doesn't mean come across that way. But tonight, honestly, I don't care whether Josh Dobbs can hit a target or not. All I know is how I feel right now. And I feel dang damn good. I feel real good.
Hey, one thing about me, I've never been a don't tell me how to think person. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know.
Listen. You got my vote. And when you come up and you sit in that stadium like that, and you have a several hour drive, you gotta savor it. You gotta savor it. That's one thing we've learned about this being in the wilderness as a football family. You gotta savor the moment. You know, you hear Jerry in the background back there, and who knows, he's probably making some of his survival food. And it's pro-pure water filter. And the bottom line is, you got to savor it, man. You got to savor this. I really appreciate you sharing that story with us.
It was a special night. And then, honestly, man, I mean, today was the first time I ever met Big Orange Butch. We had a great time at the game together, man. Afterwards, I mean, literally, you know, I mean, just hugged. And it was like, dude, that was awesome. You know, we gave each other high fives. It was like, dude, we've got to do this again. That was awesome. And just, and like you said, man, the guys I tailgated with out there, I met so many folks that I've interacted with through Twitter and all, I mean, it's awesome being a part of this.
Ah, it's so fun. We're just a big, and, we're just a big dysfunctional family, man.
I know it, man. I love it.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you, brother.
Take
Y'all
care,
be good, man.
Man. Good talking Later. To you. Jerry, I hope you understand that he was talking right at you there when he talked about...
Who's Big Orange Butch?
Huh?
Who's Big Orange Butch?
That'll be fun on Twitter. 53 past the hour.
Did he meet Butch Jones? Is that what he was talking about? Seriously, I don't
think
know.
There's an individual out there. Notice the term, use of the word individual. Still pretty. I still got it, man. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern. What time does that make it your time, Jerry?
It's about 5 till 10 here.
What time you go to bed, Jay?
Oh, man. After this, I'm going to turn it in, man. Had a long day today. We had a 9 a.m. game this morning.
You think Butch Jones is sitting somewhere right now at the Anderson training facility, digging deep into his back pocket and just going through some of those names, sending out some texts?
Oh, be nice.
A lot of names in the back pocket. Now's the time. He said he put them in his back pocket and saved them for later. Well, it's later. What do you do with them? I have not gotten a call, so I will assume that I was not in Butch Jones' back pocket.
I'm sure I'm back pocket material. Let's go to the phones. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. I got two more calls after this one. Hello.
Tony.
Yes.
It's Matt. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Matt. Get in here.
Buddy, I'm going to tell you what. I've got me and my buddies. We're all in our early 30s, and we grew up watching Tennessee in the 90s. And tonight is one of my most memorable moments in Neyland Stadium. It was unbelievable, buddy. My buddy was in from the military, and me and him hugged. When we won that game, we hugged for a good 2 or 3 minutes. We couldn't believe we won.
I love that, man. That's what this ought to be. And you know what? I hope we get back to the point where we start expecting to win, right? You know, but for now, this is going to do. This is going to have to do.
Oh, it was my second favorite game in Neyland Stadium of all time.
The first
one was 2004. 2004 Florida when James Wilhoy kicked the 50-plus yarder to win it. That was my first favorite game.
They had the false finish in that one, right? That was the one with the fake finish.
Yeah, the false finish. But this one right here is my second favorite game of all time.
It's very, very, very sweet, man. It's very sweet to win. It's very sweet to be a part of it. I'm glad to hear that your buddies from the military.
And there may or may not be a couple of guys at my house right now that might be sleeping on the couch the next few nights.
I feel you.
They might be in trouble. They might be in trouble with their wives because we hadn't beat Georgia in 6 years, and we tailgate on top of G10. And it's been a long time since we've been able to head back to the tailgate. And celebrate and have a few adult beverages after the game.
Sounds like you got quite the cheering section back there. How many folks you got with you?
There's six of us here, and a couple of them might be sleeping on the couch the next few nights.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. I mean, here they are, 12:57 in the morning, and they're still out.
Yeah.
Not a good sign,
buddy,
brother.
Tony, we got you on. We got you on the loudspeaker.
I've got a
surround sound in my house.
Beautiful.
You're on the loudspeaker,
That's
buddy.
That's beautiful.
I just want to thank you and Russell for what you do, man. It's unbelievable. I get up and go to work, and then I put you on, buddy, and it puts a smile on my face, and then you know, through the middle of the day, I damn drift into the, you know, noonday show over there on the Frog Channel. But, come 3 o'clock when Russell W. comes on, man, he puts a smile on my face again.
That's good stuff, man. You're making my night. Let me tell you, it's not about me. It's not about Russell. It's about us tonight.
Oh, it's partially
and it's about
me.
And it's about you with your friends. And thanks for giving us a glimpse into that, man. Thanks for being there.
All right.